You are listening to Benefit from the Bible, which is the preaching ministry of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Parma, Ohio. It is our desire that you carefully listen, rightly understand, thoroughly apply, and eternally benefit. If you are listening on an iPhone or iPad, install the free podcast app called Overcast, then search for Benefit from the Bible. May God bless your listening. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, on this Sunday of the baptism of our Lord, we focus on the topic of baptism. When I think about baptism, it's a very basic thing, very simple, water in word, and yet it is extremely important, and God is working in a very powerful way in baptism. When you think about your own baptism, I'm wondering, do you even think about it much? Or was it so long ago, it's not even on your mind anymore? Or what if somebody asked you about baptism? Do you know enough about it to have an intelligent conversation with them about what the Bible says about baptism? I say that in part because I think with the topic of baptism within the Christian church, there are all kinds of different thoughts and teachings out there. And I think some of them agree with the Bible and many of them do not. So it's quite a point of confusion within the Christian church today, so we should know something more about it. So let's find out now. We're going to focus first of all on Jesus' baptism and then go to some other questions related to baptism. And actually today, the sermon is a bit different. I have a lot of questions. I'll state the questions, I'll give answers, and hopefully that will be a helpful way to look at this topic. First of all, Jesus came to be baptized. So the Bible says, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. So the question here is, when did Jesus come to John? Think about John being called by God to begin baptizing, and keep in mind that John is 6 months older than Jesus. So it seems that he started baptizing after 6 months of baptizing, after John had become very popular, after the multitudes were going out to where John was baptizing. That's the time when Jesus showed up to be baptized. And then, why did Jesus come to John? Well, he came to be baptized by him, obviously, but he was also coming to step into his position of officially being the Christ, and also expressing his willingness to take away the sin of the world. So it's a very important official time in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. We'll come to more of that here in just a moment. But we know what the Bible says here, that Jesus had to convince John to baptize him. The Bible says John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so for now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. What's that all about? First of all, what is baptism? It is simply God at work to forgive our sins. So that is a very important thing. And then the question is, why did John need to be baptized by Jesus? Very simple. He was a poor, miserable sinner, just like you and me. So he needed to be baptized himself. And then, why did Jesus need to convince John to baptize him? Well, what was John doing? He was baptizing for the forgiveness of sins. But yet John knew that Jesus had no sin, so it seemed kind of odd for him to baptize Jesus. So Jesus had to convince him. And then, what did Jesus mean when he said, John, just do it to fulfill all righteousness. I think that's kind of a tough statement there that he makes, but let me explain it in this way. I believe that John baptizing Jesus was the next and also a very important step in the mission of our Lord Jesus Christ to take away the sin of the world. So we've gone through a number of things already in the church here. So we thought about the birth of Christ, the visit of the Magi, Jesus at 12 years old. Now here he is at 30 years old. So think about these different steps with John is born, Jesus is born, and then Jesus comes to be baptized. And then what happens right after that? Then he begins his ministry. Then he does a lot of preaching and teaching. Then he performs a lot of miracles. Then he allows himself to be arrested. Then finally he is nailed to a cross. Then he receives all of our sins. Then he receives all of God's punishment for all that we have done wrong. And then he lays down his life. It's right in that string of all these things that God planned out, and it's something that needed to happen. So Jesus is saying to John, John, this is part of the whole plan. Just do it for now, and we'll talk about it later. It's almost like he was saying that to him. And there might be a whole lot more in there, too, that could be said, but that gives us a little bit of an idea on it. And then we see that Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit. What's this all about? The Bible says, and when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. So when Jesus was baptized, what changed for Jesus when the Holy Spirit came to rest upon him? We could say that prior to being baptized, he was one way. After the baptism, he was another way. What about us? Prior to being baptized, we are in sin. After being baptized, we are in Christ. So a very dramatic change. What about our Lord Jesus Christ? He officially became, right after his baptism, when he was anointed with the Holy Spirit, he officially became the Messiah, the Christ. Messiah is Hebrew, Christ is Greek. Both words mean the anointed one. So right after his baptism, he was anointed with the Holy Spirit. And maybe a way to say it like this, maybe we could say he was commissioned for the work that he was sent to do. Think about how God had sent Samuel to the household of Jesse in order to anoint David as the next king of Israel. So he found him and he poured oil on his head. He anointed him. He, in a sense, commissioned him for the task that would be coming in the life of David. So here we have God the Father himself pouring the Spirit upon his Son to anoint him for the work that he was about to do. And then we notice from the text here that the Holy Spirit remained on Jesus. Why did the Spirit remain on him? Well, think about it like this. The Holy Spirit was a gift to Jesus from God the Father according to Jesus' human nature. So last week we made some distinctions between him being the Son of God and the Son of Man. According to the Son of God, he needs no help, but according to being the Son of Man, he needed the Holy Spirit to help him, because what happened right after his baptism, then the Spirit led him out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, and the Spirit was there to help him, according to the Son of Man, to strengthen him, to help him resist the temptation and all the difficulties that were to come. So think about the Holy Spirit in our lives. He is extremely important for us too, helping us, strengthening us, guiding us, and so on. And when did we get the Spirit? When we were baptized. And then we see Jesus was accepted by God. He was accepted by God. So the Bible says, and behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." I came across a quote here from Lenski, and I thought it was a nice way to be able to summarize what went on here, kind of almost like two sides of a coin, and I thought it was very helpful. Let me see if you think the same thing. Here's the quote. This is what Lenski wrote. By the baptism, Jesus gives himself to the work of sin bearing. By the anointing and the voice from heaven, the Father accepts him for that work. So if you think about baptism being here in the middle, Jesus is approaching the baptism saying, Father, I am ready to begin the special part of the mission for which you sent me to be the Christ and to take upon myself the sins of the world. So he comes to John, he talks John into it, John does the baptism, and as soon as he steps up out of the Jordan River onto the bank of the river, then heaven opens up. And God the Father sends the Spirit down upon him. And then God the Father says, this is my beloved Son. And in doing so, the Father was saying, I accept your offer to be the Messiah, to be the Christ, to take away the sin of the world. So we have the Son of God taking one action. And then we have God the Father accepting that in two powerful ways. At this point in the service, I want to get into some more baptism questions as I conclude today. So first of all, the question is, how is Jesus' baptism different than ours? Well, when he stepped up to be baptized, he was agreeing to receive our sins. And when we are baptized, God is taking away our sins. So very different, but very much connected as well. And then, why is it that Jesus was baptized when he was 30 years old? What's going on there? Well, think about it like this. There wasn't baptism prior to God sending John to begin baptizing. So if you think about it, everyone in the whole world was not baptized prior to John. So now multitudes are coming and being baptized. So baptism wasn't available when Jesus was younger. Also, too, of course, it fits in very much with his ministry beginning and so on. But when we think about the Bible, though, aren't there many accounts in the book of Acts and elsewhere about older people being baptized? And don't many people get the idea and say, oh, it's proper that older people are baptized because I see that all the time in the Bible, so that must be what God wants. Let's wait to baptize people until they're older. Well, you could pick up that from the Bible. However, though, why are all the older people being baptized? Because there was no opportunity when they were younger. Let me give you a practical example. Take someone my age, and let's say, for example, Nevin came up to me and said, hey, Pastor, I'm just wondering, when you were my age, what brand cell phone did you have? And I'd be like, Nevin, you don't understand. There was no such thing as a cell phone when I was your age. But does that make some sense, though? So people could say, well, they could say to someone in the Bible, well, why weren't you baptized when you were a baby? And they could say, well, there wasn't any such thing as baptism when I was a baby. It's that kind of a thing. So it's important that we have that perspective on it. And then another question here, why don't all churches baptize babies? There's a great point of confusion in the Bible as to what's going on in baptism. Is baptism an arrow pointing down where God is at work upon the child to clothe him in Jesus Christ? Or is baptism simply the person being baptized confessing his faith in Jesus? So is it something that God is doing, or is it something that the person is doing? Everyone who rejects infant baptism says there is no power in baptism. God is not at work. It's simply the person confessing his faith in Jesus. But we believe, though, there are key passages in the Bible that tell us that God is at work in order to clothe the child in Christ, to take away his sins, to give the Holy Spirit, and many other wonderful things. And then, when should a person be baptized? Well, I believe it should be done as soon as possible. When I've had the opportunity over the years, I've tried to talk with parents prior to the child even being born and say, let's get together, let's talk about baptism, let's get everything ready so that very shortly after the birth, then we can do the baptism. Think about it like this. Now, this might be hard to think about, but I think this makes the point, though. So think about an infant child that's been diagnosed with a terminal disease. That's a hard thing to think about, but this happens sometimes. So imagine that family and how they're feeling about their infant child with a terminal disease. And then it's found out that actually a cure has been found, but the cure can't be transported. The cure is in Chicago. And that cure is available for this child. Are the parents going to delay in going to Chicago? Aren't they going to make plans immediately to go there and to get the cure for their child? By all means. Well, God wants us to know that every child who is born has a terminal disease, and that is sin. And that's even worse than a terminal disease, because that is a forever kind of a disease. But what has God done, though? God loves us so much that God has made the cure in Christ, and he has put the cure right into the waters of holy baptism. So God wants parents to know that. He wants them to have this all figured out, and he wants them to run to the baptismal font and to get that great blessing as soon as possible. I hope that makes some sense. And then, almost done here, what about this question, can an infant receive a gift from God? Well, think about it like this. So if there was an infant, let's take one of my own grandchildren, and if I wanted to give one of those children, let's say, a gift of $50 for his birthday, so I could simply contact the parents, find out if they have a bank account for the child. Sometimes people open up bank accounts even for younger children, and then say, tell me the number, I'm going to deposit the money right into the account. Now, if I did that for a two-year-old, and I explained to the two-year-old, oh, you're going to be so excited, I gave you $50. Is that going to register with the child? Is the child going to have any idea what I'm talking about? By no means. However, though, the child still has the gift, and someday, well, of course, when that child grows up, maybe $50 would buy like a bologna sandwich or something like that. I don't know. But anyway, it might not be worth much at that time. Well, I forgot to count, though, the 1% interest that might be on top of that. So it might be more than I think. But anyway, though, the point of it is, though, God can give a great gift, and he does. But here's what's critical, though. It is so critical for parents and grandparents to teach these little children what their situation was before baptism, what God did for them in baptism, how important it is for them to grow up in the Word of God, to grow up in Jesus Christ. So I encourage all of us in that way, whatever opportunities we get, let's teach other people what it's all about so they can treasure what God has done. And they want to cling to what God has done. And that becomes very important for them. Finally, at the end here, I asked one final question. How should our baptism long ago be a blessing for us today? So I'm guessing all of us have been baptized. So maybe in some cases a long time ago, but how can that be a blessing for us today? Let's know what God has done for us in baptism. So what has he done? Just a short list here. He has forgiven our sins. He's made us spiritually alive. He's made us members of his holy family. He's given us the gift of eternal life. He's given the Holy Spirit to dwell within us, and even more. So when we think about all of that, I mean, these are precious, amazing, wonderful blessings that God has given. So how do we think on them? How do we talk about them? Let's always say, I am baptized. Let's never say I was baptized. If I say I was, it's kind of like saying, oh yeah, last week I had $1 million, but that was last week. That's not true today. That would be kind of sad, wouldn't it? Or what if I said I had this whole package of great blessings from the Almighty God 20 years ago, but now though I don't have that anymore. What a sad, sad thing. So let's talk about it in the present tense. Let's know that as God continues us in Christ, and also for us, as we are diligent in the Word of God. So God does the work in a way, but think about what Jesus said there. I think I brought this passage up recently in a sermon, but in Luke chapter 13, Jesus said, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, talking about the door to heaven. So yes, God does it, but we have a part. After God makes us alive in Christ, we have a part to make every effort to work with the Holy Spirit in order to enter. So God is saying, be diligent about being in my word every day. Be diligent about being in divine service on a regular basis. Be diligent about coming to Bible class, and God will work through all these things in order to keep us in Christ and to keep us with the blessings of baptism. So let's know that God has done it all on one hand, but at the same time, God wants us to proceed in our lives as ones who are clothed in Christ and are forgiven of our sins and so much more. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for sending your Son to bring us back into your family through holy baptism. Help us to remember our baptism. Help us to talk about it in the present tense, and help us to rejoice in all that you have done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for listening. If you have questions, contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. If you are searching for a church in the Parma, Ohio area, attend with us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. This is our regular schedule: Saturdays, class at 3, divine service at 4. Sundays, divine service at 9, classes at 10:30. For our festival schedule and much more, go to our website. Now, may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with us all.